Our first reading this evening is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. Christ's birth and kingdom foretold. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Our second reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Amen.
Our next reading is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, and can be found on pages 1027. Shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Amen.
Our fourth reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Wise men are led by the star. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it arose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen.
Fifth reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, nor husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen only his glory and the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
There's a little verse in Luke chapter 2, or at least part of a verse. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Seems like a fairly obvious statement. Sure, the time comes when every mother is pregnant to give birth. Naturally, one would hope 9 months that then the child would be safely delivered into this world. Yet behind that statement is something much more profound and much more significant. In the intertestamental period, which was between the Old and the New Testament, there had been relative silence. No prophet had been speaking, and therefore there was a time when perhaps there was silence. But that silence was in preparation for someone to be born. Someone predicted from the very time of Genesis and the time when Adam and Eve failed God. A promise of an expected deliverer. Someone who was coming. But it was in God's timing. Many years had elapsed from that initial promise made. But God had not forgotten. He was waiting, as God often does, for the most opportune time. A time that he had planned, a time that he had purposed. And no one or any event could stop that moment from happening. And when the time arrived, Mary gave birth to the Savior of the world. What a moment. This was not a simple, normal birth. She was conceived. She conceived through the movement of the Holy Spirit upon her life. She was purposely brought to a place prophesied in Scripture where Christ would be born. And right at that moment, when God decided, the Christ child was brought safely into this world. God orders our footsteps. God orders yours. There is not anything that happens in your life by accident. Within the divine purposes and plans of God, you are here tonight because he has willed it so. He has decided that you should be here. He has decided that once again, in his grace, you hear about his son's birth. And the only time that you can respond to it is at the time that you hear. You cannot delay it or put it off or procrastinate. For today, right now, is the day of your salvation. This very moment, God gives you an opportunity. An opportunity based on that historic and universal change that was brought about by his son's arrival. Tonight he offers you hope, a purpose for living, a reason for your existence, a moment that will change eternity, taking you from death to life, from the penalty of sin to the joy of salvation. Saved not only from our sin, but saved to serve God with a new hope, a new freedom, a new liberty, a new reason. Tonight, that is your opportunity. As you hear these songs and carols and readings, it is your moment in history. God calls you to respond to him. He has broken the silence. When Lucy sings to us in her next ministry piece, it will be entitled, O Holy Night. Is it? Is it a holy night? For what would make it holy? Is it if you come home to a holy God? That will be the most wholesome night you could ever experience. And when you do that, the Bible tells me that when one sinner repents, heaven rejoices. Is that going to be tonight? Are you going to make Christmas real by accepting the timely ordained birth of his son so that you could genuinely be here tonight to hear this message? For without his birth, you would have remained in your sin. But tonight, because of his birth, you can be set free from it. would it be to God that your night be holy.